The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
As it can happen with this program here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, unexpected things pop up. You know, we kind of have a plan for the show. We're going to do this.
There's no plan.
Hypothetically, there's a plan. Are you always clued in on the plan? No.
I'm here to derail the plan.
Correct. Yeah, actually, that's true. And I think you've been told as much by our bosses.
Yes.
So this morning, I mentioned to Chewy, hey, there's an email that we got you can just kind of disregard. You know, like there's an email, there's a meeting next week. Don't need to be a part of it. You can just delete it. And Chewy's like, well, I never got it. I'm like, really? Well, remember, I needed to reset my password. Couldn't figure out how to do it. So I haven't been getting emails for, what, 2 months?
2 months. Not my fault. Can I ask you guys, and I want you to answer this honestly.
Okay.
Josh?
You know I'll shoot it straight with you, brother.
Answer this honestly.
Okay.
And you're not going to offend me in any way.
Okay.
Do you guys get cheesed sometimes that I play under a different set of rules?
No.
Yeah, it's a lie.
No. Like, look, there are, much like when you played, there were different rules for Brett than there were for you, right? And you understood that. You were along for the ride. You enjoyed the ride at times. It's the same thing here. There are different set of rules for you. I'm just along for the ride. I'm enjoying the ride. I mean, no one's necessarily getting yelled at here, but...
No.
I mean, I am the corporate version of the designated yell guy. I'm you and you're
Brett.
That's
a very good point. That I get it. Okay, you explained that very well. But when it comes to the email, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. And it goes to arrogance.
Yeah,
it's you can't expect everyone to know how to do a certain task. Like, when I got the email 2 months ago, you need to change your password.
Sure.
I don't know how to do that.
Like, you don't know how to get into your account and just change your password.
Which is probably, for the youngsters around here, a little odd. Right?
Sure.
Well,
but it should have been explained to me on how to do it.
To give proper context, we were prompted to change it. So it popped up. So... you have a computer that you log into, and when you went to it, it should have told you, hey, you need to change your password, and then you just did it right there. But right now, because you're here, you're only on your phone. So the phone makes it a little more difficult, which I was able to walk you through. Took me about a minute, but we got there.
Was it easy for you?
Yes.
See, I had no idea. Like, I am still on my computer here as a guest. Because I don't know my password.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite.
Which limits what I can do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when all you need to look at is that the ESPN.com landing page, I mean, what else do you need?
This whole everything needs a password and everything needs to be a different password is ridiculous. Like, how do you know all your passwords?
I've got them saved in my phone. There is a password manager that is a part of this, and so anytime I need a password, I just go to my settings, go to password, does the face ID, and then I can access the password.
All my passwords revolve around Superman.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware. I don't know if you should have said that out loud.
Have at it. Maybe they could figure out my
maybe they can get
password
you out of
guest on my computer.
Mode.
And what did Joshy do? Joshy copied my password.
Yes.
For ESPN, mm-hmm. So he has it.
Correct. So then he's going to send it to you so you have it.
It's hard getting old.
Yeah.
Can you fix a carburetor on a Toro zero turn 582?
Most certainly cannot.
I can.
Yeah.
Again, that's weird to me that you can't do that.
No, that's not weird to you. You're just lashing out at this point. But I think the expectation is that we should have asked. We should have done this sooner, Joshy. Like, this is on us. I mean, we let it get to the point where it's 2 months. But, I mean, let's be honest. How many emails that we get here on a daily basis?
Do I care about?
are actually relevant to Mark Chamberlain.
Or do you need to even see?
Correct.
1%, probably less than 1%. So with 2 months of having no password.
Yep.
So, and all the emails.
Josh, like Chewie's phone was just populating emails after the password was reset.
Would you guys like to guess how many emails I now have to delete?
I would love to guess.
2 months.
So 2 months worth of email. I am going to say, because we get a lot of unnecessary emails.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of the emails I get, but also I'm on like distribution lists.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Do you get put on like, so just for example, like the woman who manages the office, are you on those? Are you getting emails about like, hey, we're cleaning out the fridge? Or do they just not even include
you? No, I get
you?
Those. I okay. Get, yes,
yeah, I
get
think
those.
That goes.
I get those. I
like
get
he probably he's definitely because this went to the entire Avenue office that Sophie the dog is visiting today from 9 to 10. So he's definitely on that.
Yeah.
Okay, give me a guess.
I'm going.
Hold on. You got to go Price is Right style.
Oh boy.
You
got to
go Price is Right
okay,
style.
Okay, so closest without going over.
I'm going 277.
Oh, in 2 months? It's got to be way higher than that. I'm going to say 502.
You both lose. Joshy almost had it.
What? Really?
261.
Oh.
Now, my next question, is there a way I can just delete all of them?
Yes.
Without having to go individually and delete each one?
Yeah. Again, easier if you can open it on your desktop there. Which
yeah, this
can,
thing?
Yeah.
Ain't happening.
And also, you use, which is not the normal way, I use the app for Microsoft Outlook. You use the actual native mail.
Do you know what happened there?
No, I didn't know there was war.
Which is why I'm glad that you're the one who fixed his phone this time.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Chewie initially started doing, because, I mean, you did the Sunday morning show for how many ever years with Craig? And when you transitioned to doing the morning show and an everyday host, somebody decided that Chewie needed a Good Karma Brands email.
Mm-hmm.
So we set that up for him, and I put the Outlook app on his phone.
And it blew it up.
And it somehow deleted all of his contacts,
which
he pretended to be mad at. But I think that he was actually thankful because then people who just randomly text him, he's like, well, it's a number I don't know, so I'm not going to respond to it.
Well, okay, there was probably about 6% of the contacts I need.
Yeah.
But the contacts that are in there that have don't answer.
Ah, there you go.
Those are the ones that hurt.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
So now I just don't answer my phone, which upsets my wife. But do you think in other places of business that have the amount of employees that we have here, which is, I don't know, quite a bit.
Yeah, just in this building alone, we've got a lot.
People are annoyed by emails within the company.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee it.
This is common in any corporate setting where at some point, it happens probably every other year, where they go, we need to be sending less emails. Same thing with meetings. We need less meetings. We can figure this stuff out.
Well, but here's the problem, Josh.
Less meetings means more emails, and more emails means more meetings. Yeah,
correct.
It is a self-fulfilling.
Because there are a lot of meetings that could just be emails.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you guys open up every email and then delete? Or I just delete them before I don't even open them. I just delete.
Depends.
Delete.
Depends upon what it is. You know,
like Joe Frog, I don't care if you're out of the office on Friday. I really don't care.
There are a lot of out of offices where I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
I'll find out you're out of office when I send you an email and it bounces back.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I never send out an out of office.
All right, let me ask you this.
Long.
Are emails that are worthless more or less annoying than group text?
Oh, they're more annoying because if I'm in a group text...
Group text you can't get out of.
No, that's not true.
Where it's just bing, leave. Bing.
You can just leave.
Or you can silence.
Yeah.
I've got group messages that are just on, like, silent. I don't get notified. If I want to look, I'll look. Otherwise.
I feel most group texts I'm in, I want to be in.
Yes, at this point.
Well, I'm on one that I've I'm on one that has 20 people on it. Yeah. I'm another one that has 30.
Uh-huh.
I can get rid of that, just like stop.
Yeah, Josh, he can show you how to do that.
I mean, I don't really care if they think I'm a Richard. I don't care.
So again, you've got it much like on Twitter, where you can mute people or block people. You can always just, like, I don't know why anybody blocks anyone anymore. You just mute them. They don't realize they're blocked.
Ah, really?
And they're just tweeting into the ether. Okay. Yeah.
All right,
so
you
can silence, you know, the group chat, or you can just leave it completely.
So anybody who tries to be mean to me on Twitter, I mute them and never see them again in my life. And if you check on them, they're still going after you just months and months later.
Really?
Tweeting into the ether.
So a technology class would really do me well. Just a basic 101. No?
I mean, if you wanted to, would it be helpful? Sure.
They do those at the Apple store. They could sit you down.
But, I mean, you've made it this far.
I also think you'd need a one-on-one because they're going to teach you, like, the basics, calling and texting. Yours is basically, how do I delete this? How do I mute this? How do I leave this? That's kind of a little more advanced.
Yeah, you're like a 201.
I think I need a Cato again.
Well, I mean,
technology Cato?
Again, the problem in this specific instance is once you got that email and you didn't know how to do it, it was my and Josh's responsibility to go, hey, to go to our IT department and be like, hey, Chewy needs help with this, or we should have helped you with it. However, in those 266 emails that you have,
yes,
I mean, none of them are actually really that important. Like, for example, the email that I told you is they're having a meeting about remote broadcast setups next week.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you're on it. I don't know why. You don't need to be on it. You're not setting up any remote broadcasts anytime soon.
I am next week, but I already know how to do it.
Well, yes, because you have the one at home. I'm talking about like when we go out, when we went out to Cousin Subs, right? Or when we were out at the bog for the golf outing. Like, you don't need to know. Like, the expectation for you is you show up, you do your show, and then, you know, do whatever you got to do after.
Do you think we're a little password crazy, though, now? Where everything needs a password?
Well, after the news of every single one of our social security numbers in the history of basically Earth being hacked.
Yeah.
We don't have sufficient security. I think there's a lot of stuff that I have passwords for. I'm like, what would I ever need a password for this for? Like, there's not high end information here. But anytime you have corporate information or something with a credit card attached, it's probably a good idea to have a password.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Please.
And there's some people probably have the same dumb question. If they saw my social security number, what are they getting?
Oh, going to sign up for credit cards in your name, blow up your credit. Yeah. Because once they have that, they have access to,
If somebody wanted to, they could probably buy a house.
So we're probably not far from microchip inside, which is going to spell the end of the world, and I'm not doing it, so. But, I mean, that's eventually coming.
I mean, you're probably investing in it, you just don't know about it. But, yeah.
Am I right? I ain't doing it. It's the mark of the beast. Read the Bible. I mean, they do it in dogs.
There's nowhere in the Bible where it says don't put microchips in you.
Yeah, if you read between the lines. How did we get here?
How did we get not here? Put a
Hold
microchip.
On, Gabe. You talked about we have a schedule. I'm pretty sure I just went nuclear on it.
No, because
how did we get to this point?
Your email.
Your email. It all started with your email.
Email and
passwords. Ends with the mark of the beast.
Like, I've got, we've got this official Kyle Brustin Nortman green and gold time capsule questionnaire for the 2024-2025 professional football season. I don't know why they didn't put Packers on it, because they could have, you could have done it for a time capsule thing, but I digress. We were going to talk about this because they've got a lot of interesting questions on this. But the second that we figured out what you could get in your email, I thought it'd be fun to play the game of over-under. And, you know, here we are talking about the mark of the beast.
I think we helped out 4% of the listeners, 6%. I mean, we definitely helped some out. Because there are some of me's out there.
What would you say we offered help to?
Passwords.
Basically, the only advice we could get is get a younger person who can figure stuff out for you.
Yeah, if you If you don't know how to change your password, get a Joshy and Gabe in your life, and they'll be able to help you out.
No, it's old. It's young people arrogance because you don't know how to change a carburetor on a Toro mower.
That's not a young person thing.
Like, so you guys are always going to hire someone to cut your grass because you ain't going to know how to do it.
Well, no, I'm going to cut my own grass, but like...
Also, I use... When I need to fix something, I don't know what it is. Anything short of me needing to do soldering or welding, I'm just going to YouTube it and figure it out.
Yeah.
Because somebody has that exact same model and a step-by-step how to change it.
But is there... That's cheating. That is...
Well, yeah, but somebody taught cheating. You.
Yes.
And so, YouTube is teaching Josh.
Good point.
You just got to be not afraid to break something.
Ryan's saying that the microchip can be found in the New Testament. So you just gotta, so just make sure you keep an eye out for that. Justin saying on the talk and text line 800-990-3776. You guys should do a 2-minute Chewy tech segment each week. I think the audience might actually enjoy that. Tech corner with Chewy. Yes, I can only imagine where that would lead us. I know Jason Wilde. See, now we're late for Jason. Uh-huh. Who knows if he's going to yell at us because he got yelled at by Matt LaFleur for being late.
Really?
Oh, you didn't see.
I got to hear this.
Okay, we'll have that audio and we'll talk to Jason about that. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but with a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready?
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us 3 times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude. Sorry we're getting to you a little late. I hope you can forgive us.
Well, tardiness is not appreciated in this dojo, as I comedically learned earlier in the week.
For those who missed it, so Chewy has not heard this. Let's go ahead and hear what happened when Jason showed up late earlier this week to a Matt LaFleur press conference.
Do they need to play it on Sunday, just or Saturday, just to show you that they can handle?
How many times are you going to come to my press conference late? We got a rule in the team meeting. You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside. Just kidding.
I thought that was directed at me.
So that was directed at Jason Wilde during the press conference.
I tried to do my best to.
Jason, how serious did you think LaFleur was? Did he have you going at all?
Yeah, so if you roll the table a little longer, he does say, I thought I did the best I could to sell that, but I don't know if I did a very good job. I completely disagree with him. I thought he did a fantastic job. So in the span of whatever that was, 10 seconds, first of all, when he said, how many times are you going to come to my press conference late? I've never come to his press conference late before. I've never walked in when he was talking, in part because he's usually late. Secondly,
is that Jason? Hold on. Is that really a rule?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it could be a team rule if a player shows up late.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, and that goes all the way back to when I played. You might as well stay outside and hope you weren't seen or not seen in the meeting.
Right. Exactly. Especially when there's 90 guys on the roster. That's the time to miss a meeting. So here's the backstory, because, of course, I shared that on social media because I thought people would enjoy it, and it appeared people did. But here's the backstory. So I had a few people say, I think he was really mad. So him and Jason Wallers, the VP of communications, are down in there's a little green room off to the side of the media auditorium. And they got down there a little after 1:45, and he scheduled at 1:50. And LaFleur says to Wallers, hey, can I just go early? And Waller's like, no, like these guys are planning for you to be here at 150. So, and you know how sports writers are, they're always running late. And so he tells Waller's, anybody who walks in late, I'm going to light them up. and so all this is happening while I'm stuck behind a tour group that's coming through Lambeau Field and is clogging up the steps as I come down from my office. So I was definitely pushing the envelope. I personally think I walked in at about 1:49 and 45 seconds. But yes, at first, so when he says, how many times you're going to be late? I figured, okay, he's just messing with me, right?
Yeah, he kind of stumbles through that part too, Jason. Like, you know, like you knew, the more you hear it, the more I think you can break it down.
He sold it at first.
But I was about to say, in the moment,
like
you're probably not catching that little kind of hesitation that he has in the middle of that first sentence.
Yeah, not only that, but if you break down the film, you could see there's a little bit of a smirk on his face when he starts.
Yeah.
And then he wipes it away. But so I'm like, okay, he's just giving me grief. And then when he gets to the point where he says, he's starting to say, sit your butt in the hallway or whatever it is. Then I'm like,
yeah,
oh blank. He's legit mad. And then, you know, Tausch's biggest complaint with this was that he didn't hold the just kidding for another beat.
Yeah, he needed to hold on to it. He did.
Like because I will say this, had he waited any longer, I would have stood up. I would have stood back up and prepared to do the walk of shame back up the stairs and out the exit. So if I would critique him in any way, I would say, if you hold that for another 2 seconds, you really embarrass me. Because then you would have been saying, just kidding, sit down, Wildy, what are you doing? but here's the other little piece of the backstory. So I did a story during the week about Josh Myers, the Packers center, whose father passed away earlier this summer. And look, Matt LaFleur's dad is at practice all the time. We all have different relationships with our dads. Gabe, your dad is amazing. I still owe him $90. good old Keith. But I texted LaFleur because, you know, we didn't have any more access to him because they were leaving for Denver. And his dad's at practice every day. And I thought, you know, he would really add a layer to this story. And so he didn't get back to me before they left. So when they got in on Thursday, they had a team dinner at Shanahan's restaurant. And I just texted him one more time. I said, hey, I got to finish this story. If there's any chance you can get back to me tonight, you know, I'd really appreciate it. And the guy texts me back and then calls me. And he was in bed before the practice on Friday with the Broncos. And so, that tells you the kind of guy he is. And B, you know, I think it tells you a little bit about our relationship that the guy called me from, he was going to bed, and he still made sure that he got back to me. So, it was kind of a weird dynamic to then have that happen. I'm like, God, I just talked to this guy the other night and he was in bed, but he called me back. All these things are flashing through my head in the 5 or 6 seconds that this whole thing happened.
Jason, which position group needs to win this scrimmage? Because it sounds like they all played like crap against Denver. Receivers, Jordan Love, the defense. It doesn't sound like they won in any particular. And I'm not stressed. We did the Seinfeld scale after the weekend with Denver, and it was pretty bad. But who needs to come out and say, okay, we're fine going into Philly? Which position group, you think?
So I'm going to expand that because this was a conversation I had with a bunch of guys in the locker room, and then I ended up writing about it. And I used the – I know we I know you were discussing your technological lack of
incompetence.
Knowledge. Yeah. But, you know, there's this kind of classic meme from a cartoon where there's the little dog with the hat on and his cup of coffee, and he's sitting at the kitchen table, and the whole room is engulfed in flames, and he says, this is fine. And I kind of felt like the conversations I was having with the offensive players, they were the little dog. In fact, I asked Christian Watson flat out because he got the reference. I'm like, dude, are you sure you're not being that little dog with the room on fire? Because they were all talking about how they're not worried about the offense at all, and that you know, they feel like once they start game planning, they don't game plan for their defense. They don't game plan for joint practices. They don't game plan for preseason games. They'll be fine. Like I talked with Jaden Reed about it. I talked, Elton Jenkins was the only one that allowed, hey, I think we're headed in the right direction, but we're not there yet, which I thought was the most honest answer. But Jaden Reed, it was nothing like the LaFleur interaction, but like he was giving me a hard time playfully. Like, how can you be worried about the offense? We got Jordan Love. We got Josh Jacobs. We've got Christian Watson. We got Rome. We got Wicks. We got Musgrave. And I was like, okay, but I haven't seen you guys do a whole hell of a lot this camp. Like, they've done push-ups for losing practice every day but one to the defense. And then you get, you know, humbled, Matt LaFleur's word, by the Broncos in that joint practice. So I think the offense as a totality needs to show something today, because they are the group that I would argue has not shown much. And they can say all they want that once they start game planning, they'll be fine. But mm-hmm. you still want to have some success, don't you? You tell me, you're the guy who played in the league.
Yeah, that's a dangerous attitude to have going into a defense like Baltimore, who's known for their defense. I mean, it seems a little...
So do you think they maybe game planned a little bit today?
Nah.
Like, you think they kind of thought, okay, let's watch some of the Baltimore tape, and here are some things that we've seen work against this defense. Let's do that just so we can have a little more success. Do you think they would?
I don't think
do
so,
that?
Jason, because I'd be going into this game, all right, we know where the ball's going. Let's just run an out to Dobbs or whatever, which is just an 8-step rollover timing throw. I mean, it's all about, yeah. Like I said last week, Jason, cover two's cover two. Three lightnings, three lightning. These are things that they should know right now. So what the hell you need the game plan for? You're not going to show your game planable stuff, which makes up probably, I don't know, 20% of your plays in a game. Most of it is bread and butter. 22ZN, 72X shallow cross, Fox 2XY hook. Run the thing and be successful at it. These scrimmages are for one-on-one matchups to see how good your guys are and to see who you're going to be banking on this season.
Yeah, and in fairness, I don't think they've been just god-awful offensively. I mean, it's not like they haven't done anything. They've certainly had big plays, et cetera. But they have not won the day very often. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, if we're being realistic about how, you know, they game plan, one of the things that's great about this offense is that Matt LaFleur's system does – scheme guys open on a very regular
He's
basis.
Very good.
So if you're not doing that, then a little bit makes sense there too.
Jason, is anybody winning the competition at kicker, or are guys just losing less?
No, I mean, the winner in the long term is Alex Hale, because the NFL is, as obviously you guys know, as cutthroat as it gets. Like, Kenneth Odemegwu, who's the kid from Nigeria who was their international pathway player. I mean, he was, I'm not speaking in hyperbole here, he was beloved in that locker room. Like, the coaches loved him, the players loved him. They gave him a game ball when he played in his first NFL game. He had never played football until OCU Manyora came to Nigeria and, like, did a football clinic. And this is a kid who, I mean, he's as big as Chew. Like, he is a mammoth human being. Like, he has an NFL body. And the fact that they cut him to take Alex Hale and designate him as their international player pathway program player tells you everything you need to know about how they're feeling about their kicker situation. Because what they did was they basically said, all right, we got this kid who is the epitome of a international pathway player, right? Never played football. The whole idea is to grow the game, and maybe someday, you know, one of these guys becomes a capable NFL player, and that's what Kenneth was kind of trending toward. And they said, our kicking situation is so jacked up that we're going to use a guy who kicked at Oklahoma State. Like, you know, Torrey Taylor, the punter for the Bears, is Australian too, but he punted for 4 years at Iowa. I don't think anybody views him at this point now as an international player. But, and I'm not saying Goody used a loophole. I'm just saying he did something that he thought was smart for his team, because now he's got an extra spot on the practice squad for a kicker that isn't ready to be the NFL kicker. He is not. Alex Hale, he's like 13 for 21 in camp since he got here on the 7th. Like, he's not ready to be the guy, okay? But he certainly is a guy that they like his potential, and they want to see more from him. And the way the two other guys are going, they kind of feel like they need to see more from him, because, you know, those two guys are clearly not ready to be proclaimed the winner either. And I don't. The problem I have is, who on earth are you going to get now? Like, who, every, like, is there a kicker on the street at this point?
No.
Who
so,
you still are willing to bring in?
Well, I don't know if you saw this, Jason, but Cade York was just traded this morning. Who the Browns had in their camp? He got traded to the Commanders. So even, you know, even some extra kickers who might have experience the way that Cade York does. The first one's already on the move. First one's out of Cleveland and on his way to Washington.
Yeah, and look, I don't know what, you know, whenever I brought up Mason Crosby's name, which I feel like when I do that, I'm being lazy, because it's someone I like, it's someone that I know that kicked there for 16 years. But, like, at this time last year, Mason, who was not very active on social media, was posting videos of himself, like, kicking 55-yard field goals at a high school field. Which felt to me like this is not – Mason still wants to work, and he's willing to do something that I would have never thought I'd see him do in order to try and get a job. I haven't seen any of those videos. Looks to me like he's, you know,
he's
happy
accepted
to be driving his minivan and driving his family around town.
Jason, are there any projected starters that aren't going to participate in the scrimmage?
I mean, A.J. Dillon's not a starter, but this Stinger thing is really interesting, because I, you know, first of all, he did have this last year. He missed three games because of it. He said it's different than the one he had last year. But, you know, all of us, I think, were guilty of, when he didn't suit up for the game, that, oh, well, he must be safe on the roster. And now, where they're at running back without Marshawn Lloyd practicing – I mean, they're in a really interesting spot there, but I don't anticipate him. I would think everyone else, I would think every starter will participate that's healthy enough, including Jordan Morgan, who has been limited to individual drills. Because, look, this is, I think what they're trying to do here is, and LaFleur even kind of wink and a nod acknowledged it, is that I think he screwed up last week. I think saying at the beginning of the week that none of those guys were going to play, subconsciously or consciously, made them half-ass it a little bit. And so I think he is holding that possibility of them playing out so they all participate today and they perform a lot better, and then he can tell them, you guys don't have to play in the game. So my gut is that that's what it's going to be, is all the guys participating.
Jason, appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow after the joint practice.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Palermo's is what you need in your freezer. We're coming up on the weekend. I know we're getting closer and closer to that school year. Maybe you're trying to squeeze in one last weekend getaway with you and the family. You're going to get back, and you're going to want to have something in your freezer that's easy to make and is still going to taste great. That's where Palermo's comes in. Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, all under the Palermo's umbrella. They've been doing this for 60 years here in Wisconsin, so they know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing when it comes to premium frozen pizza. In fact, they've even added a new line of premium frozen pizza within Screamin' Sicilian, with their Detroit style pizza. I tried it earlier this week. It is fantastic. If you are a fan of that pan style crust, you are going to want to try Detroit style pizza from Screamin' Sicilian. Find it in the grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's, flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I have a similar concern as a texter who texted us during our conversation with Jason Wilde. This coming from Justin. And I kind of felt the same way with the way Wilde was talking. I want to see how you feel about this, Chu. This isn't my prediction for how the season is going to go, but I think the Packers are going to get smoked week one. Eagles are going to come out wanting to prove the end of last year was not them. The Packers are feeling themselves coming off exceeding expectations. Recipe for the Eagles to blast us and Packers get an immediate wake-up call.
I don't know about smoked.
I don't know about
smoked. I'm not picking them to win.
Yeah. I'm concerned for week one, especially after hearing, like,
Who was it, Jaden Reed, that said that? We're not worried?
I think it was Christian Watson. Well, once we start game planning. And
it was Reed.
Oh, it was Reed.
Yeah.
Game planning makes up 20%. You can't game plan every single play.
Yeah.
Because most times game plans are a new play, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can throw wrinkles in, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, you should be able to run your base up. Like Fox 2XY Hook probably had that was my bread and butter, mm-hmm. probably had a 75% completion rate. Run that in my sleep.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing it sucked against was 3-sky, which is when they bring the safety down. It essentially has me, man, that's the toughest thing because he doesn't care about the play action. Bread and butter. Show me bread and butter.
I mean,
I'm not panicking in any way, but I think their attitude's a little dangerous. Like, we'll figure it out. Don't worry. Did you watch San Francisco first three quarters? We were great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, because clearly their head coach wanted something more out of them. The way he said that they were humbled, right? Hey, we were humbled this has nothing to do with the game on Sunday. We were humbled in that joint practice against the Broncos and in the game. He said both. And again, it's not sky is falling full, five alarm fire like Josh's got to put out on his neighbor's porch. But like you would think that when your head coach goes, hey, we were humbled. Shouldn't that get your attention a little bit? Like, okay, hey, we got to lock in. Let's be sharp against the Ravens. Not like,
everything's
fine. Yeah. We're just going to game plan our way through this.
But I do agree with LaFleur and what Jason said is like, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Because players will. I mean, you give them a little bit, they're going to try and take much more than that.
But again, like, shouldn't the players also recognize that? Hey, okay, we did that. Okay, let's lock in this week.
Sometimes you don't because you're so sick of camp and you're like, and there's a little bit of, hey, did you watch the last nine? We were great. You're only as good as your last game.
Yeah.
And you lost your last game. That's a common saying in the locker room. And like I said, I'm not worried, but if they come out and lay another egg, if they come out and lay in, and I don't agree with how LaFleur runs a camp. I just don't.
Yeah.
This whole stay healthy, get some seeds for crying out loud. You know, you got to put your work in. And you cannot treat the beginning of the regular season as part of your training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you're good, because one game's going to separate you from either getting the bye or not getting the
especially
bye. And the last thing you
want
to look is go, we should have beat the Colts. How did we lose to them? Because you weren't ready to play.
Or you have, the division's in play.
Absolutely.
Guessing that's going to be a tight race between the Packers and Lions.
It'll be one game.
Yeah.
Right? It'll be one game.
And that's the difference between a home game and a road game.
Yes. So, I think everyone, and I'm not panicking.
No, so, this is why I'm a little stressed. I don't like the vibes and attitude around the team right now, man. Like, again, that can be a race today. If they come out with the right attitude, they want to get the work done. Like you said, they don't necessarily have to win the practice, but if there's, hey, it didn't seem like there were a lot of wins that came out of the joint practice in Denver. But if you have some wins that come out of today, and like, okay, you won some, you lost some, you feel pretty good about, going up against a good team, your ones performed well. Like, today, for me, today is the most important day for the Green Bay Packers until September 6th.
I think this offense is going to have to, and I'm not talking about crappy teams. I'm talking about good teams. The offense is going to have to win the game. because I don't know where this defensive is. Yes, good scheme. It's better than Joe Barry's, but I don't know if he has the personnel yet to run it.
And
I don't.
And we're not going to know that until what? 8 to 10 weeks in?
Yeah. I mean, I told you the running game is a huge concern of mine, the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And week one, probably going against the best back in the NFL.
One of the, yes.
With two really good receivers.
Uh-huh. And a solid tight end and a quarterback who can run too.
So, I mean, that's going to be a hell of a challenge. And I think people saw last week, I'll beat it down. Your running lanes are different against a 4-3 than a 3-4. You get downhill and you get a body on a linebacker.
If Saquon runs for 150 yards, are we just going to put up a cut-up on the show the following week, the following Monday, of Chewy just talking about, hey, when you're in a 4-3, I'm worried about the run.
All 22 will be very interesting.
How many times a week does Chewy say that?
Hold on.
Did I get it right?
First time ever. He said it right.
He did. You know what?
I wanted to call it all 22. I don't know why. All 22.
Chewy was right.
All 22.
Josh is just spamming buttons back there now. It is worth celebrating. All 22 coming your way once the regular season begins. Check it out, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube, where Chewy breaks down five key plays from the Packers game. It's one of those things where you have talked about it, I think at least three times a week you bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worth bringing up until we see what this defense does, and we're not going to see that, I don't think, until week one, September 6th.
Because when you do that, when you gash, right,
mm-hmm.
down the pipe, when you're running downhill, you have to bring the safety up.
Yep.
And when you're gashing and you bring that safety up,
uh-oh.
Play action pass, hello.
Yee.
So I'm just saying, and I'm not panicking right now.
It has my attention.
I don't agree with the way he runs a training camp.
Yeah. And well, because the Packers getting off to slow starts is not,
Yeah.
We're familiar with that. They got off to a fast start against the Bears last year in week one, but obviously the season got off to a slow start. They were 2-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will, just have to wait and see. I'll be very interested to see how they do today. Very interested. Because this is a much better team. This, I believe, at the end of the year, was the number one power-ranked team. Was it in the end of? They were high.
They had the best regular season record in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
They had the best record in the NFL last year.
So this is a good team.
Oh, it's a very good team.
And Lamar's not going to be Lamar.
Yeah, because he's not going to tuck it and run. Yeah.
They're going to say, hey, throw the ball away, live to play another day. Well, we really don't care.
Yeah, because you don't want to, even in a joint practice, you just don't want something funky to happen where you get hit.
I will be, and I think the most important position to have a day is the receivers. Okay, because we've been tops lighting it up, triple coverage. He's unbelievable. If he does nothing today,
mm-hmm.
then he's what I thought he was.
Yeah. I would agree with that. What, if we had to power rank animals, would be the most painful to get bit in the testicles with? Not a tease I ever thought I would do, but here we are. We're going to talk about that because there's a man in Thailand who unfortunately had to find out about one of them. We dive into that. Coming up next, the next edition of Behind the Bucks is here. Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Buck stars share their experiences from competing against the world's biggest stage, the Olympics, from battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Find it on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up, and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things, which I think is a pretty good deal, which gets me in trouble. Right.
You got a Viagra ring?
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
We get some rules to follow.
planning on going to Thailand. But when I read a
headline, you know what the capital of Thailand is?
Okay.
Say it.
Bangkok. It ties in right here, by the way. Josh. Mm-hmm. It ties in, right?
The look in his eyes.
So he got excited. To say
Bangkok. Anyway, the tweet going around yesterday. In Thailand, a man was bitten on the testicles by a snake that had entered his toilet due to the rainy season.
Hello.
A 12-foot python bit this man in Thailand in the testicles. The quote, "I felt something biting my balls. It was very painful, so I put my hands in the toilet to see what was wrong. I was shocked that I grabbed a snake. I quickly stood up, plucked it out, felt pain, really bad pain, and there was blood everywhere, but I was more shocked to have found a python in the toilet."
See, I don't think the bite hurt. It was probably the venom. Because it's like a needle.
They don't have venom. Pythons are non-venomous.
But those things are sharp, like a needle.
Yeah.
It's teeth.
Yeah.
Those are pointy teeth.
In
puncture.
Why, they don't have fangs? I'm not thinking fangs.
No. They have fangs, man.
Yeah, it's just,
I don't think the fangs would hurt.
Why not?
Because it's so sharp, like a needle.
Yeah, but like, you ever take a needle to the balls?
Not yet.
And it's not like it's a
like. So when I do my mentality injections, because I do that with mentality.
Yes.
Like I give my, you know, I have a needle. I put it in my thigh. Like there's a little more meat on the thigh. Yeah. So maybe if I got bit by, I'm guessing it would still be painful because those teeth are a lot bigger than the needle I'm putting in.
Vastly.
Yeah. I think a shark
They're
would
made
be
to
worse.
Do damage.
Well, if you're getting bit by a shark, I think you got bigger issues. Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, they're taking more than just the fellas.
I don't think a snake bite down there would be horrible.
I mean, that's the craziest thing you've ever said.
But it wouldn't be horrible.
What do you mean it would be
horrible? I
think a
dog down there would be worse.
Well, yeah, they'd crush it.
Yeah, so there's definitely worse than...
So you're thinking it's painful, clearly, but you're thinking the testicles can be saved, therefore it's not that bad. Whereas you get bit by a dog, a shark, bye-bye testes.
Yeah. Like a badger would be bad.
You have a top five for us? A top five worst animals to get bit in the balls
that
by?
I'm afraid of?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think a bear would be fun. I mean, shark would probably be the worst. Although shark, would it be like off so quickly? I think Josh hit it on the head. The crushing would be the worst. Am I right?
I don't know. I've never experienced it.
Can't. The problem with the badger is, I think dogs have it too. The shake when they're trying to
grab the death shake. Yeah.
Oh, that's a big pickle. You might have no more pickle, but you find yourself in one.
I mean, alligator wouldn't be good.
That'd be bad.
Alligator.
A lot of teeth there. A lot of sharp
teeth. I don't
think
snake would be the worst. It'd probably be more 8, 9 ish.
Oh, not even top five.
I don't think it's top five. Right? I mean, there's...
Justin's saying bullet ant?
A bullet ant?
Yeah.
I got stung down there by a wasp.
Oh! No thank you.
That wasn't fun.
No thank you.
I do check my toilets in Florida, though, because I think they've been known to come up through there.
You know what's
Well, I think somebody just had, like, was it Jeff Darlington had an iguana in their toilet, like, come up in their toilet?
Yeah.
You know what sneaky would be bad? Humans.
Yeah.
They might be top five.
Mm-hmm. He's driving the bus, so it must be fine. I think most people would agree.
Josh, I expect that out of Chew.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm surprised Jen didn't call in and suggest that.
Hey,
you on the other hand, I expect more from you.
I'm just thinking about, let's Google the strongest bite powers. Let's see what happens there.
Strongest bite power?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like alligators, alligators can't open their mouth, but their chomping power is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I've got saltwater crocodile, gorilla,
ooh,
grizzly bear.
Yeah.
A lot of dogs.
Mm.
Sharks do make it on hyenas. Vicious bite, much like a dog. Spotted hyena.
Polar bears. There is a, what is it called? Maybe the listeners can help me out. But in Florida, when they go clamming on the wall, there's these things that hide themselves to grab fish when they go by.
Okay.
And if you're not wearing like metal gloves, I've heard they will bite your fingers off. Just clomp and your fingers are gone. They're some kind of moray eel.
Yes, those are quite
moray
dangerous.
Eel. Try no, that you. Game.
No, thank you.
Yes.
Hard pass. I'm good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Google them. They are ugly as sin.
They are. They're often like greenish.
Yes.
Yeah.
They meld into the wall. I've heard stories down there that like, I ain't going in that water anymore. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's what I'm saying. Lake Michigan, a lot safer.
I think moray eel, Josh, might be number one.
Moray eel's made its way up to number
Google
one.
Google it. They
in
are
the power rankings.
Ugly.
Kyle Brust and Nortman put together a time capsule questionnaire for the Packers season this year. We're going to go over it, answer some of the questions, maybe make fun of some of the questions in 2 minutes on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.